America under attack. Our coverage continues from WABC Radio News. This is WABC, New York City.
From ABC News, I'm Doug Limerick. A second day of infamy in this country. Terrorist attacks in New York and Washington. Planes have crashed into the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center. The 110-story towers have now collapsed. Here's ABC's Ruth Davis.
I'm looking up at the sky. A little while ago, there were two towers up there burning. Right now, I don't know how much of the other one is missing because I cannot see it. I cannot see any part of it. The streets are covered with an eighth of an inch of gray ash. There's debris everywhere. There are people, cops, construction people, the few people, the FBI, a few people who are left out on the street are standing around gawking up at this unbelievable sight.
At least one of the planes had crashed into the World Center Towers before they collapsed. An American Airlines 767, Flight 11 from Boston to Los Angeles. It had been hijacked before it crashed into the World Trade Center Tower. Then shortly thereafter, a plane crashed into the Pentagon. ABC's John McQuethy.
The Pentagon side by the heliport is badly charred. It appears the plane, a small plane, came in at a very low level of attack heading north. It clipped several light poles on the way in, and then apparently exploded right at the base of the Pentagon by the side of the helipad. They are evacuating everyone from within a quarter of a mile of the Pentagon.
Word that a section of the Pentagon has now collapsed. An explosion also reported at the U.S. Capitol. No new information on that blast. There's now a report a large plane has crashed in western Pennsylvania, about 80 miles southeast of Pittsburgh. The FAA has shut down all flights across the country. Here live, ABC's Vic Ratner.
And Doug, federal authorities have closed all airports in the Washington and New York area. Flights coming into the United States from Europe being diverted to Canada. In Washington, all the major buildings, the White House, the Treasury Department, the Capitol, the State Department evacuated and employees sent home, Doug.
ABC's Vic Ratner live. More in a minute. You're listening to ABC News.
America under attack. Our coverage continues from WABC Radio News. This is WABC, New York City.
Good morning. This is Babita Hariani in the WABC newsroom at 11:02. We've had a whole number of things happen in the last couple of hours. We had planes, two separate planes crash into each of the World Trade Center towers. Both those towers have collapsed. And we also had a plane crash into the Pentagon. We will go right now to WABC's George Weber, who is live nearby the scene down in Lower Manhattan. George, can you tell us what has been happening since we last spoke to you?
Well, I can tell you this, that certainly the panic part of it has subsided. Now that we know that those buildings are gone, and believe me, it was a scary sight as we watched them in flames, and then myself personally watching the second tower come down, while I was probably about 20 blocks away, I had only been three blocks away when the first tower collapsed, and I quite frankly, I didn't even want to look up there. I was on a side block, and then I heard this incredible explosion and this rumbling sound, and then this giant plume of smoke that billowed up high into the air and then came down each of the side streets going from south to north as a stampede of people came running. Things have calmed now, and what you find in these neighborhoods here in downtown New York are people gathering around cars where the radios are on full blast, listening to radio stations, trying to find out what's going on, and people walking around the streets, many of them angry, many of them, quite frankly, saddened by the thought of a terrorist attack on the United States again. And what we're also finding is a confusion factor. A lot of people obviously not knowing who got out of the World Trade Centers, who got out of the buildings that were near the World Trade Centers when they came tumbling down. So it is a frantic attack, and I have to tell you that each time I do these reports, I have to make them fairly quick because certainly there are a lot of people who are concerned about their loved ones who are standing in long lines, very much like myself, to make these phone calls. So, again, I think at this point they have evacuated from at least Canal Street South, and it appears as if they might be trying to evacuate a little bit more. There's also another very eerie sound, and I don't know if you can hear that behind me. It's the sound of what is apparently an Air Force jet. It's one of several that have been flying around this area for the past couple of hours ever since the first tower went down, Babita.
All right, George, thank you so much. And now we're also...
4 minutes after the hour of 11, as we have all morning long since the first aircraft crashed into the North Tower of the World Trade Center. We're going to Commissioner of the City of New York, Jerry Camerata. Jerry, where are you at this particular point?
Curtis, I just got over to Williams Street here, and as I'm listening to the reports that's coming over your airways, it's exactly as your people have been reporting. It's amazing how many stores have opened up their doors, the amount of water and any kind of beverage taken out. Down here at downtown Beekman Hospital, staff is outside giving face masks out in order to help the people get through the debris. It is truly like a volcano with the ash coming down. Every street, every building is just completely glossed over with at least a quarter of an inch, if not more, of ash. It's just going to take a long time to take care of this.
Well, Commissioner Jerry Camerata, as you had mentioned, New York City's Board of Election has canceled today's primary election. Because of the emergency crisis, people were advised stay home. There's no need to rush out to the polls. And this is a time where political differences are being put aside and everyone is coalescing around the mayor. Now, Jerry, we've not heard from the mayor or the governor locally to advise us as to what's taking place. Do you know when we'll get probably our first public advisory from either of our elected officials?
Well, I hate to say this because it's a competition, but New York won. As I just walked into my office, I just had a news brief by the mayor indicating he wants everybody that is downtown to immediately proceed with caution uptown, right, above Canal Street, and just keep walking north with calm.
Now, when you look out your window of your office, because it overlooks what used to be the placement of the two World Trade Center buildings, do you actually see the United States aircraft hovering above, making sort of the circles and the loop-de-loops in defense of that area of our city?
Curtis, I cannot see more than 300 to 400 feet outside of my window right now. Every street looks like there was an absolute disaster. You can't even determine what cars are under all of the ash. It is just one blanket of this mass wall of white. And this is going to be around a long, long time.
Now, Jerry, you had originally told us when John Gambling had asked you, when you saw one of the towers collapse, that you felt that it was almost as if a series of explosions were going off simultaneously.
That was my perception as I was immediately running away from that, and I was only about 3 blocks from the explosion when that happened. It was flashes of fire, window after window, starting from the upper floors, working their way down. After 4, 5, 6 floors seeing that, I didn't even turn around to see any more of that. I was just running out.
Understood.
So just to be clear, the mayor has requested that everybody south of Canal Street move north of Canal Street on foot in a non-panicked mode. Don't try to come into the city. Stay at work if you're at work. Stay at home if you're at home.
Yeah, quite frankly, you just could not breathe outside in the air now downtown without needing to find your way to the emergency room. I did see the bridge opened, the Brooklyn Bridge especially, opened for pedestrians only, and they were walking them over the bridge as expeditiously as they could.
Can we go to the Channel 7 live feed right now?
Because our truck is full of dust. That's exactly how much dust we're talking about. Our deck is not working. However, I can tell you, we had a woman sitting in our live truck earlier who was literally covered in blood from her toes to her head. She was sitting in our truck filled with dust. She says she was actually on the 82nd. In fact, we just heard another explosion. We just heard another explosion a moment ago. So we're going to stay here as long as we can, but as soon as it becomes dangerous, of course, we will move. Let me tell you a little more about this woman. She was sitting in our truck, covered in blood, said she was on the 82nd floor. As soon as they heard that first plane come in, they started running down. It was clear until the 70th floor, but then the problem was a jam inside the stairwell. They ran down below the promenade where all the shopping centers and all the shopping stores are, and then they were able to run. Still, police having a hard time evacuating the whole area. You can see there are many people around, but the streets are jammed now with emergency vehicles. I can't hear you that well right now. I'm going to try to take this here.
This is a Channel 7 reporter who's on the scene there at the World Trade Center.
And it's not... 9 minutes after the hour of 11. And just to take off on what you have thought, John Gambling, I'm now remembering when the World Trade Center was constructed during Governor Rockefeller's reign, the specifications were that it could withstand a normal airliner crashing into the facility based on what had taken place at the Empire State Building. And what we saw transpire in just an hour, hour and a half, was a complete collapse of both towers, which would almost imply that there were other elements possibly on that plane to speed up that process.
The other thing that leads me to that speculation is that at the Pentagon, the crash of the airplane there, they say it crashed on the helipad, which is outside the perimeter of the Pentagon, between the Pentagon and the roadway there, which I'm not sure exactly which one it is, but that Pentagon building collapsed as well.
About a 60-foot section of it.
Yeah.
Not a very large section.
No, but it's not a very large building, so it does not have the vertical pressure down like the World Trade Center.
Do we know if that commuter plane that hit there, did it actually hit the side of the Pentagon?
Well, I would assume that it did in one way or another, but the quick collapse here seems unusual, but this is only speculation.
It's difficult for us to know because that whole air around that area has been sealed off. Obviously, the military has now scrambled their jets, and there's no aircraft allowed to fly right now. In fact, the television news helicopters are even grounded right now.
Now, Ron Kuby, assuming that it was the active terrorists, and possibly those from the Middle East, maybe taking a page out in the 1993 World Trade Center blast when it was Salome who drove that Ryder truck in, what goes on in the minds of these people who would plot this and plan this, and the justification of taking so many lives of really innocent people who are not at all involved in the decision-making as to whether Israel is a favored nation or not a favored nation?
Well, I remember back in the sort of the son of World Trade Center terrorism trial back in 1995. This was the plot to blow up the Lincoln Tunnel, the Holland Tunnel, the George Washington Bridge, the UN. It's supposed to be a synchronized attack back in 1995. Folks were arrested, and the plot didn't go forward. But we were actually, as lawyers, we were able to listen to the tapes of the co-conspirators, because there was an agent inside, listen to the tapes of the co-conspirators, discuss this very thing, discuss in very chilling detail, planting a bomb inside the Holland Tunnel and detonating it. And the discussion that obviously the individual who detonated probably wouldn't be able to get away. And there was a big discussion on tape, well, what happens if we kill Muslims? And the consensus of the terrorists who were discussing this was, well, that's unfortunate, but they'll go to heaven. They'll sit at the right hand of Allah, and this is a necessary action in order to strike at what they perceive to be a legitimate target. So when I think you're imbued with that sort of religious zealotry, no matter what religion you happen to be, it no longer matters how many innocent people you kill as long as you strike at the quote-unquote guilty people.
Hmm. And the ultimate goal here, if I'm not mistaken, is to create fear, not so much the fear of the attack itself, which will subside, but it's the fear of a repeated attack.
Well, I'm speculating as to who's responsible, but if it is Islamists, I don't know that there's some sort of ultimate long-term strategic goal, that by doing A, B, and C, therefore we will achieve the ultimate goal of whatever it is. I think it's a much more atavistic response, a desire to strike at and to harm those who you believe have wronged you. And with the religious imprimatur that you have under those circumstances, it's easy to justify morally.
All right. Now, there are many military targets, and Osama bin Laden's agents have taken responsibility for the bombing of the USS Cole in Yemen. Still unsolved, when a small craft came alongside and essentially detonated itself and took many of our servicemen and servicewomen with it by blowing an entire crater hole out of the side of that battleship. But in this case, these are not military targets. These are not places where there is any kind of military personnel or officers.
I'm not being glib about this, but I mean, that's why we call them terrorists. There's no legitimate military target. There's no get the U.S. presence out of Yemen, therefore we're going to attack a U.S. military installation in Yemen. There's a much greater sense of let us strike deeply at the heart of those people who have wronged us.
Which they certainly have done. You cannot get any more deeper in the heart of the United States than what has been accomplished in less than 1 hour. It's hard to even comprehend that in 1 hour the White House was attacked, the Pentagon was attacked, the Capitol, the State Department, and the essence, the icon of American business, the World Trade Centers, and New York City.
Now, I would think with our ability technologically to track almost everything that moves, you can even go to a map setting now in which you can find your very own house listed on a map. You can see an actual aerial photograph of your house. That we cannot pinpoint or target Osama bin Laden, this is beyond me.
Well, I mean, I think at this point, if it's determined that Osama bin Laden is responsible, I think that issue, you know, becomes sort of axiomatic, because I think most of Afghanistan will soon be dealt with in a manner that's fairly
this
serious.
This is your prediction.
That's my prediction. If, in fact, Osama bin Laden is responsible, I think that there would be a broad national consensus to strike very deeply, not just at the individuals, but at the nations or nation states that are giving them protection.
But that brings up a very good point, Ron. I mean, if this was a foreign country that was attacking the United States, we'd have our military probably by this afternoon flying over there to drop our bombs. But What do you do? How can you retaliate for that?
Well, and sort of the deeper problem is, and I hesitate to say this at this time of national emergency, but they've won by virtue of this attack.
Correct.
No matter what we do after this.
Well, the score is certainly in their favor.
Whether we turn the whole of Afghanistan into a sheet of nuclear glass, which, quite frankly, I don't know that I'd oppose right now, they've still won because they've shown the ability to create mammoth destruction, incalculable destruction in the heart of the United States. And whatever this earlier Trade Center bombing did, it killed relatively few people, killed six people. The Murrah building, 168 people. This is destruction on the scale of wartime.
We've never seen this, the kind of destruction.
Right. Also, the numbers involved to pull this off, I mean, this is not four or five people involved here. This is, you know, maybe dozens and dozens, maybe as many as 100 people to pull something
like
this off.
Right, but this would also indicate that when our Kenyan embassy was blasted off of its foundations, when our other African embassy was blasted off of its foundations, there was no proper response from our government. As you know, 10 days later, under the cover of Monica Lewinsky and that whole sword affair, we sent these missiles deep into Afghanistan, did absolutely no damage to Osama bin Laden and his Mujahideen fighters, and then we blew up an aspirin factory in the Sudan, and then that was it.
I can assure you that that's not going to be the case this time.
Right, although I have to say, I mean, striking back at people who were not involved doesn't really advance anybody's cause of revenge, retribution, or justice. And it's the problem here. How do you find out
who's
accountable and who's responsible?
Right, but if you have someone who's come on international television, on the BBC, on CNN, and acknowledged that he is the mastermind of reaching out to strangle the evil Satan of America and the little Satan of Israel, why shouldn't we take him to his word? He is the one who publicly defies us and says, yes, I will strike at your heart. I will use every method, every dollar I have.
Well,
in
you
my
know, Curtis, if we struck at everybody in the world who says we want to destroy the United States of America, I mean, we just open the atlas.
Well, who are you talking about? Osama bin Laden?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, why? I mean, look, we've known about this guy for 2 years, more. Well, we haven't done it yet.
Well, we can track an animal's movement through the Kalahari Desert, right?
And if we did, if we did take him out, do we believe that there's not another guy that would be in his place?
But we do know that he's the mastermind, Phil. We do know that he's financially enabled so many of these terrorists to continue out in their negative and killing activity around the world.
Right, but what we don't want to do, I think, is to sort of fall into this type of downward violence spiral that characterizes the Middle East, where there's an attack and retribution for the retribution and revenge for the attack. I mean, whatever has to happen here has to be something, some stroke that's calculated not simply to inflict pain or punishment or retribution on those that did this, but to make sure that neither they
again
nor anybody else can ever do this again.
You actually don't want to strike at the heart of where these terrorists are
and
send
know
a message.
Who, Curtis, I don't know who these terrorists
Come on,
are.
Ron,
I don't know who did this.
I
dearly would love to find out, and believe me, as soon as we find out, I will join you in playing the Star Spangled Banner as American
At the risk of being the moderator here, which I don't normally like to do between you guys,
yes, Phil.
You know, let's not turn it into a talk show yet.
Mm-hmm.
We still have breaking news.
No, you're
And let's, but what you guys are doing is the very thing that everybody right now is doing, is saying, what do we do? And B,
how do we do it?
How do we do
whom?
It? And another question, what do they want? What do they want?
I think they want us dead, Phil. I think that if anything was abundantly clear now, They want us dead, which is not something we can give them.
They're not going to kill all of us. There's 289 million of us.
Right.
Anyway, we're going to take an ABC News update.
Right, remember, as Ron has
frustration.
Said, in their minds, should they die in this holiest of all missions, they go right to the side of Allah. They end up with vessel virgins. They fornicate. They enjoy themselves in perpetuity.
Which is, right now, I just can't comprehend any of it. But we are in continuous coverage here on WABC 770, the most listened to news talk station in America. And we are also on WAVD New York 1050 ESPN. Which has joined us in a simulcast, and we are going to get the latest in this story. A number of things have happened since the top of the hour, and we'll go to ABC News.
America under attack. Our coverage continues from WABC Radio News. This is WABC New York City.
The World Trade Center in New York City is gone. It collapsed. This after two planes crashed into each tower minutes apart of each other. An attack President Bush characterizes as being an apparent terrorist hit. New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani says there's been a horrendous number of lives lost. Another plane has crashed into the Pentagon, collapsing part of that building. And a 747 has crashed near an airport about 80 miles from Pittsburgh. Now, earlier, ABC's Jim Huff witnessed the collapse of the World Trade Center's second tower.
As you can see behind me, the second and last tower of the World Trade Tower has just collapsed. It is about 10:30 Eastern Time, and the tower has collapsed. We did not hear an explosion. There was no sign telling us previous any kind of warning that the building was going to collapse. The warning for us were people just running in our direction, and that's when we started to get out of the way.
ABC's Jim Hoff. It is possible that all three planes involved in these attacks were hijacked. American Airlines confirms that at least one jetliner was an American Airlines flight, Flight 11, out of Boston to Los Angeles. All flights in the United States have been grounded. New York City under a state of terrorist alert. No way in or out. All bridges and tunnels closed. Larry Jacobs, ABC News.
America under attack. Our coverage continues from WABC Radio News. This is WABC New York City.
Good morning. This is Babita Hariani in the WABC newsroom. You've been listening to live coverage from our ABC network. We have had an incredible number of things happen in the last 2.5 hours. Let me recap and update you as to what happened. If you're just joining us, here's kind of a timeline of what happened in the last 2.5 hours or so. We had a plane crash into the tower of the World Trade Center in Lower Manhattan. That was about 8:50 this morning. Then we had a second plane crash into the second tower of the World Trade Center. That was just after 9 o'clock, about 9:03 a.m. President Bush at that time in Sarasota, Florida, he called the crash an apparent terrorist attack and a national tragedy. Then we had an aircraft crash near the Pentagon just outside of Washington, D.C. in Northern Virginia about an hour after the attacks in New York. Government buildings in Washington, including the Capitol, the White House, they're all evacuated, with officials citing a credible threat of a terrorist attack. The FAA has shut down all aircraft takeoffs nationwide. The subways here in New York City suspended, service suspended. Train service, Metro North, Long Island Railroad, New Jersey Transit has been suspended. The Lincoln Holland tunnels, all the tunnels, in fact, in and out of Manhattan, completely shut down. The bridges shut down. We had then, shortly after 10 o'clock, a World Trade Center tower here in New York collapsed. That was about an hour after being hit by the plane. Then American Airlines says one of the planes that crashed into the Trade Center was an American Airlines Flight 11 that was hijacked after takeoff from Boston en route to Los Angeles. And we had a senior law enforcement official confirm that a car bomb exploded outside of the State Department in Washington, D.C. Now, the financial markets are completely closed. Primary elections have been suspended here in New York. Then we had the second tower of the World Trade Center completely collapse. Both of those towers are completely gone. We're told that two of the planes, American Airlines, that were hijacked. One was a United Airlines flight. New York City in a complete state of terrorist alert. And now we're going to go back to ABC coverage, live coverage from our network. Let's join them now.
I'll tell you, I live in northern New Jersey, and on a high spot of land, actually, about 30 miles as the crow flies from the World Trade Center, and I can see it. And we stood on a berm and watched the smoke rise around it, And we didn't know that was the one of the towers falling, the second of the two towers that fell. We didn't know that's what that was. But the collection of people around the metropolitan area that looked up and watched this tragedy unfold from a distance on a gloriously clear day, I would have to say millions of people had to have spotted this tragedy from afar because of the plume of smoke still exists now.
And as you say, Tim, it takes a very long time to evacuate those thousands of people from the buildings, and each of them collapsed in a matter of seconds.
They usually say, Jim, when they describe the World Trade Center, that they've got more telephone exchanges in there than the city of Detroit. That ought to tell you how many people work in that particular area, and that is a frightening thought.
Tim, how far away are you from the actual Trade Center disaster, and what can you see?
Well, Karen, you know New York City's a grid. I'm at 222nd Street and Broadway. You are, some 120 blocks closer to the World Trade Center than I am. This is as close as anyone can get a vehicle to Manhattan at the moment. There are roadblocks on all the commuter highways. There is traffic at all the spots where all the commuter highways are shut down. You can't get across bridges. There are matrix signs at the George Washington Bridge, for example, that say closed. But I'm looking at a scene reminiscent of, although a totally different type of story, when the New York City had a commuter strike and people streamed across the Brooklyn Bridge. There is a bridge that goes across the Harlem and East River here that goes into Manhattan from where I'm standing now, and people are streaming on foot across. They've left their cars here, and they need to get in to Manhattan for some reason, and many of them think they're going to walk. I asked the police officer if the subways were running south, and he told me no. I don't know if there's truth to that, but that's an amazing situation in the nation's largest city to have it shut down like this, and there is noticeable shock on the faces of almost everyone walking around.
The city has virtually been shut down, as Tim says. That's ABC's Tim Scheld reporting live from Upper Manhattan, several miles away from where the Trade Center collapsed. He says that's about as close as anyone can get. The people who are closer and who were there because they were working when this attack occurred describe it as a war zone. One fire marshal, a gentleman by the name of Mike Smith, says everyone was screaming, crying, running, cops, people, firefighters, everyone. Another businessman said, I just saw the building I work in come down. And that, of course, is the World Trade Center, which had just collapsed in rubble behind him. Dust and dirt is everywhere, and it still is everywhere, covering nearly all of Lower Manhattan. Ash is 2 to 3 inches deep in places. People are wandering around just dazed and terrified. It is a horrifying, horrifying picture, Karen.
And President Bush has called it both a terrorist attack and a national tragedy. Attacks on American landmarks with American Airlines airplanes. We have the two trade towers coming down. We have a plane flying into the Pentagon, which has been evacuated and is still burning at this hour. And we also have a report of a plane down, a large plane in western Pennsylvania, a 767. The FAA is also still trying to locate several planes that are missing and may be hijacked. They also say, officials say, it is too soon to speculate on who may have been behind this. Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat has denied responsibility, has condemned it, and has called it unbelievable, unbelievable, unbelievable. Jim?
The stories that people are now telling about what happened this morning are coming in. The eyewitnesses are telling us these horrifying stories. People, before the two buildings collapsed, jumping out of windows, falling to their deaths, trying to escape the burning plane and the smoke. One eyewitness, a gentleman by the name of Kenny Johanneman, tells us what he saw when he was there in the building. Do we have Kenny? Apparently we don't have Kenny Johanneman there. Kenny said that he was in the basement, apparently of the World Trade Center, when the building just came down and the elevator blew up. There was lots of smoke. He says, I dragged the guy out. His skin was hanging off, and I dragged him out, and I helped him to the ambulance. For many other people, unfortunately, there was to be no help because both buildings collapsed upon them.
And recapping what we've told you, we have America under attack. A terrorist attack is what President Bush is calling it. Both World Trade Center towers have collapsed. The scene in New York is one of disbelief. The smoke is now obscuring the entire skyline of Manhattan. All federal buildings in New York and Washington, D.C. are closed. There have been attacks in Washington as well. We had a report of the Pentagon being struck by a plane. The fire is still burning there. There was a report of a car bomb outside the State Department that has since been shot down. We also have a report. We had a report that there was a bomb at the Capitol building, but that has since been shot down as well. Most of the federal buildings in Washington have been evacuated. The Treasury Department, the Capitol, even the White House, where reporters hurriedly were herded out of the building as a plane was circling overhead.
It's unclear who is responsible for these attacks, and that will become clear in the weeks and months ahead. But clearly, this was a coordinated attack. It happened in rapid-fire fashion. One plane and then another into the World Trade Center in New York, and then a third plane into the Pentagon in Washington, and then a fourth plane crashing. We believe it may be connected. We don't verify that yet, but crashing in Pennsylvania. This all happened very quickly, and the reports came in just as quickly.
As we are boarding Air Force One, they have bomb squads out here checking all of our gear. A second time.
It's Linda Douglas on Capitol Hill. We've just been told that the Capitol is being evacuated and that all reporters must follow the...
America under attack. Our coverage continues from WABC Radio News. This is WABC, New York City.
Just blew up. A big explosion. People started running. It was just chaos everywhere.
An eyewitness describing the scene at what used to be the World Trade Center towers in New York City in Lower Manhattan. Both towers hit by airplanes this morning. We know an American Airlines jet was hijacked and crashed into one of the towers. Then, incredibly, both 110-story towers collapsed. They crumbled. Bodies falling from the buildings. American Airlines now says it lost two planes. Around 160 people on board both those planes. They are gone. New York City is closed down. Then in Washington, another plane crashed into the Pentagon. Here's ABC's John McQuethy.
This is one of those things that you dream of in your worst nightmares. It appears that a large jet aircraft, perhaps the size of a large passenger plane, came very low, clipping off light poles as it approached the Pentagon. It slammed into the side of the Pentagon, and it drove itself from the outer ring all the way to the inner ring. The area of the building that it went into burst into flames. There are many, many floors of destruction deep into the heart of the Pentagon.
ABC's John McQuethy at the Pentagon. No casualty numbers yet, but they're sure to be very high. Another large plane has crashed in southeastern Pennsylvania in Somerset County. Apparently, that may be a United jet which was hijacked out of Chicago. The FBI is now trying to determine who's responsible for today's attacks. All planes are grounded around the country. Doug Limerick, ABC News.
America under attack. Our coverage continues from WABC Radio News. This is WABC, New York City.
This is Bruce Anderson, WABC News. On the line with us now is Phil Zepeda. He's with the American Red Cross. Phil, can you fill us in on exactly what your folks are doing?
Sure. Right now, the American Red Cross is planning our strategy meetings. We have our chapters in New York City and in Washington, D.C., and around the country mobilizing to provide different types of assistance, and that assistance is disaster relief and biomedical assistance with blood donations.
Phil, do you have any numbers of people injured?
We don't yet. It's too preliminary for us as well. What we're looking to do is mobilize our volunteers, see who's able to help, and also look at our national blood inventory system of about 80,000 blood available units that are available to ship to different parts of the country.
So you need blood donors at
this
point, obviously.
We do need blood donors. Yes, we do. People can call 1-800-GIVE-LIFE to schedule an appointment near them.
Very good. That's Phil Zepeda. He's with the American Red Cross. Thank you very much, Phil. Let's update things just a bit here. We have apparently conflicting reports on that plane that went down near Pittsburgh. One report says it was United Airlines plane from Chicago. Another report we have says it left Newark Airport en route west. We're not sure on that just yet. That plane down in Somerset County in Pennsylvania. Once again, a horrific series of attacks today on landmark buildings in Washington and New York. terrorists apparently have crashed two planes into the World Trade Center. Both of the Twin Towers, each 110 stories tall, have collapsed. Incidentally, about 10,000 people work in each of those towers, and then another 5,000 people visit those towers during the course of a day. We don't have any casualty figures at this point. An explosion also rocked the Pentagon today. An aircraft crashed on a helicopter landing pad near the Pentagon. West wing of the White House has been evacuated amid threats of terrorism there. Curtis?
And it almost reminds everyone back to February of 1993, when there was the first act of terrorism directed at the World Trade Center. That Ryder van that rolled into a parking lot there with 1,500 pounds of nitrate explosives took out five floors, rocked the foundation, close to half a dozen deaths, thousands of injuries. But the building was able to withstand that blast and stay tall. In this particular case, John Gamling, your observation was in observing the second airplane as it crashed into the South Tower, that the both towers collapsed almost within an hour and a half.
Very, at least to me, and I'm not a construction expert, but it just seems to me that that was awfully rapid for it to just have been the result of the airplane crashes and the fire, though the fires were very intense, obviously fueled by the jet fuel that was on board both of those aircraft. I think the other thing, Curtis, and Ron and Phil Boyce and Bruce, that we have to kind of understand here is that this is the first time in American history that our government has really gone into exile. I mean, our government at the moment is in control, and they're controlling things, and they're discussing everything, but they are in exile. We'll have more on that in a second.
John, George Weber is at the scene of the World Trade Center now. George, tell us what you know at the moment.
Bruce, I've now moved a good ways east. I guess out of sheer curiosity of this giant plume of white and black smoke and where it's heading and what's happening on the other side of town, because clearly they're not letting reporters anywhere close to the area where the two World Trade Towers collapsed. And they have basically closed off traffic all in downtown to allow emergency vehicles to come in. I mean, I'm seeing emergency vehicles from other states coming in here. This is, think about it. I mean, a massive rescue effort. So what they're doing right now, I'm standing right next to the Manhattan Bridge, and this is one of the entry points where they're bringing in the ambulances and the emergency personnel, and I can tell you, I can't tell you how many federal officials and federal vehicles have been moving into the city. And again, we still periodically will see some of the U.S. military aircraft doing flybys in downtown Manhattan, and I'm sure in other places around the tri-state region as well. And again, this is the sound that you hear hour after hour down here. And just below me is a park right at the edge of Chinatown. And while there's some curiosity among these people, they continue to play their card games. They continue to chat as if nothing is going on. The markets are open. They're shopping. They're buying their fish. It's as if this little corner of New York City was totally unaffected, but you know what's on the top of their minds. They're talking about it. They're pointing up in the air periodically, and they're continuing with their card games. So just a little snapshot of a piece of New York as they deal with this immense tragedy.
Thank you very much, George Weber.
George, we understand that many of the injured were taken to St. Vincent's Hospital. That hospital is now full, but we do have a phone number for you to call if you're worried about a loved one that might have been injured. I assume that this phone number is going to be jammed with thousands of people who are concerned about their loved one. I'm going to give this number out now, 212-604-7285. Again, that is the emergency number that's been set up, the hospital number, 212-604-7285.
Yeah, and my guess is that throughout the course of the day, the best way to get this information out to the public is through the news media. And as long as the government officials involved are, you know, providing this information in a somewhat timely fashion, at least to give people some kind of feeling that, okay, I I have an idea that if I keep listening, they're going to tell me about my loved ones, because I quite frankly, I don't know how they are going to be able to handle, certainly at this early stage, Phil, the phone calls coming in from tens of thousands of people. I mean, I can imagine my mom is probably calling me. Everyone who has relatives of people who live in New York City are probably trying to call them right now. And I don't know if any of you have tried to make phone calls, whether it be on a landline or a cell phone. It's virtually impossible. Operators are swamped. It's very difficult to make direct phone calls. So this is a ripple effect across the country. It's causing near pandemonium, I think, in the minds of a lot of people.
Thank you very much, George. It's George Weber in Lower Manhattan at this hour. That number again, if you'd like information, trying to find information about people, 212-604-7285. We also have a confirmation now from United Airlines confirming flight from Newark to San Francisco. That's the plane that crashed near Pittsburgh. Steve Malzberg on the line. Steve has been talking to some people this morning. Steve, are you there?
Well, yeah, Bruce. Hi. I'm actually trapped here in New Jersey. I feel very helpless, and with the rest of the nation, heartbroken and devastated. And if there was any way to get into the city, I would be there. But one thing I have managed to do is channel surf and pick up on some things that maybe with you guys being on the air constantly, you weren't able to hear. And MSNBC did an interview with Lawrence Eagleburger, former Secretary of State. And he just said that this was a total intelligence breakdown, and that the magnitude of the attack, he considers this a total act of war, and that there hasn't been anything like this since Pearl Harbor. He considers the devastation, equates it to Pearl Harbor. And basically he said that only Osama bin Laden would have the capacity to coordinate this. He says an attack like this takes months or years to coordinate, and that's why he says there was a total breakdown in our intelligence. He also pointed out the obvious, that we had thought we had licked hijacking in this country, and apparently, at least, it appears on the surface that we have not licked hijackings, that there is a way, whether they had weapons or just rushed the cockpit, whatever they did, if they did that, it still remains a possibility here in the United States. So Lawrence Eagleburger said that George Bush needs to respond quickly, hard, and go after terrorism wherever we know terrorism exists, indicating even if we don't know for sure that they were the people directly responsible, we must go after those who would support Osama bin Laden and have in the past.
Well, so Lawrence Eagleburger advocated attacking who?
Well, he said our first target should be Osama bin Laden. He also talked about the Taliban and the Afghanistan, the government in Afghanistan. We have warned them, apparently, according to him, through our State Department and through Washington, that anything in the future that would occur, any kind of attack against American targets, they would be held responsible for if bin Laden was implicated or found to be responsible.
And you think, Steve, we would have attacked Osama bin Laden already if we knew where he was?
Well, that's what I was just going to bring up. It was several weeks ago, or maybe several months ago, the way time flies, that I remember saying on the air, Osama bin Laden was handing out promotional videotapes to the media. Osama bin Laden was interviewed by, I don't remember which network, but I mean, they
so you're
know,
saying we know where he is.
Well, we have to know where he is. Well,
I don't think he's having a news conference today.
Not today. No, not today.
Well, I don't know where he is, and I don't know that he's responsible. And with all due respect to former Secretary of State Eagleburger, if this was a matter of three people coordinating hijacking of three planes, you don't need a huge infrastructure and you don't need a lot of money. This was not a particularly high-tech terrorist attack, although obviously it was a very well-coordinated and very well-planned one, but you don't need 100, 200 people. You don't need
Ron,
a nation behind it.
Afghanistan has consistently given sanctuary to Osama bin Laden and his minions. They have been warned about this, not just by the United States, but internationally, also by some of their fellow Muslim countries who also fear Osama bin Laden because of his radical fundamentalist ways. And if you're providing a base, a haven, a sanctuary for the terrorists who has targeted the United States and Israel, well, then you're just as culpable because you do nothing to sort of relieve yourself of that, exiling him.
Again, we've made a leap here that I don't think is justified in making yet, which is we've assigned blame to Osama bin Laden. Obviously, he's a number one suspect in any.
Well, I can bet you he's got a big smile on his face right now.
Either way, he's probably happy, but you can't kill a guy for being happy.
Although, actually, given the way I feel right now, you probably could. But hopefully tomorrow
Well, now, Ron, I mean, that's, and of course, you've always been one to preach caution. I mean, even in this case, I mean, you've got to be, you know, heartbroken like everybody about this.
This is horrific. I mean, I live in this city. I have my family in this city. I was desperately worried about my family for hours. And I think we should find out who did this, find out how it was done, and figure out a mechanism to not just punish the people who did it, but a mechanism that completely roots out and extirpates the entire infrastructure.
But Eagleburger does have a good point in the fact that we thought we had hijacking under control, but if any of you have traveled in the last few months,
it's lax.
You know, it's very, very lax. And these people are busier in many cases talking to each other.
Look, if we just want to do a quick historical review, which might be worthwhile, this problem began with the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan, and the then Reagan administration viewed Afghanistan as sort of the Soviet version of Vietnam. And much of U.S. foreign policy was developed around the idea of encouraging Islamists such as Osama bin Laden and Sheikh Omar Abdelrahman to engage in war against the Soviets, bleed the Soviet economy, which eventually they did, drove the Soviets out. Unfortunately, this is what we call blowback.
Ron, your attempt to link the Reagan administration in some indirect capacity, or at least for setting the groundwork, the fact of the matter is, and if it turns out to be Osama bin Laden or the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, which is another report I heard they claimed responsibility, we have to realize one thing. A terrorist is a terrorist is a terrorist. And whether they're blowing up people in Northern Ireland or blowing up people in the West Bank or blowing up people in America, they are all terrorists. And when we condone
I got to interrupt you. We want to go to Joseph Lawless at Logan Airport, where a couple of the planes were hijacked.
They have had families flying on those flights that we've had various reports on. To call these following numbers. American Airlines, 800-245-0999. Secondly, family members can call a Massport number, 617-568-3100. We've also urging people not to come to the airport at this point in time. We've increased the shuttle buses from the terminals to the MBTA Blue Line stop, and the MBTA has increased the frequency of subway transportation. We are in close communication with the FAA, the FBI, State Police, Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
You have been listening to Joseph Lawless, I believe, with the Port Authority in Boston.
Okay, thank you. We'll go back to our coverage here on WABC. You know, I didn't want to interrupt Steve. He was getting wound up there. But I think we have to all kind of, again, keep in mind, we really don't know for sure what to do in a situation like this. And we're all emotional, and we all want to figure out something to do. But we can't.
Phil, these were domestic flights, not international flights. If you've taken both, you recognize the international flights have intense security as opposed to the domestic flights. Coming back from Southern Florida yesterday, I was on a Delta flight. I had a detour into Washington, D.C., and you put your items through a metal detector, so to speak, a scanner. But the people who were there scanning the items may have well been just imported into the United States just months ago. It's not like they're experts in the field.
Heard us, casualty figures are now beginning to come in. New York City officials say as many as 165 bodies have been recovered following the dual crashes of planes into the World Trade Center this morning. And you can almost bet there will be more. And those two American Airlines planes that the gentleman was talking about moments ago, American Airlines says it lost two planes. One of the planes involved was Flight 11, a Boeing 767 from Boston to Los Angeles. That flight had 81 passengers, 9 flight attendants, 2 pilots on board. Also involved Flight 77, that was a Boeing 757 operating from Washington Dulles to Los Angeles. 58 passengers, 4 flight attendants, and 2 pilots. That's a total of 156 people killed there. And as we mentioned earlier, that United Airlines plane crashed in Somerset County in Pennsylvania, Somerset County, Pennsylvania, near Pittsburgh.
Do we know yet, Bruce, if that came from Newark? Because we heard conflicting reports.
Flight from Newark, New Jersey, to San Francisco,
Phil. That has been confirmed.
Okay.
That has been confirmed. I think that we all are sort of numb over this, as everybody is, and I think that we are going to see over the next coming weeks and months and possibly years a significant change in our view of ourselves. I think I'm struck mostly by the calm here in New York City and downtown for what George Weber has described, what others have described.
I can tell you, I came in on the subway. I was stuck in the subway for an hour. I left about 9:30 from my home at 86th Street and came downtown. I got stuck at 37th coming to Penn Station, and it was surreal.
Right.
Nobody
talking. It's
When I got off, people were gathered around television sets, but nobody talking.
Yeah, there's a numbness that I feel not only here in our newsroom, but as you describe and as has been described on the streets of New York City. But as we've just heard in our roundtable here, there is an anger that is going to build up once this numbness wears off and the pain starts to really hurt. And it's going to be interesting to see how we as Americans really sort of react to this and what we ultimately do, because all of the questions that Ron has posed and Curtis has posed are the questions that are going to need to be answered.
I mean, let's look at Pearl Harbor, for example, which is not a bad analysis, although at least Pearl Harbor was directed at the military rather than specifically civilians. We went to World War, and we interned thousands and thousands and thousands of perfectly loyal Japanese and Japanese Americans, even native-born Japanese Americans, out of anger.
Ron, the next time you talk about profiling on airline flights coming in and how unfair it is, I'm going to remind you, if in fact these were hijacked by Arab extremists, how important profiling is. And subjects of that note are going to come up. But first, we're going to give you round-the-clock coverage of these terrible events here. And now, an update.
America under attack. Our coverage continues from WABC Radio News. This is WABC, New York City.
Terrorism against our nation will not stand. And now, if you join me in a moment of silence. May God bless the victims, their families, and America.
President Bush trying to comfort a nation shaken by an unthinkable series of terrorist events. It started this morning at New York's World Trade Center when two planes struck the twin towers of the center. American Airlines says two of its passenger jets involved, both apparently hijacked. The towers have since collapsed. Washington was also hit. A plane crashed into the Pentagon, sending people in the Capitol into panic.
The cordon of security around the White House has been pushed back drastically at this point, and people are running, scrambling over parked cars to get as far away as they can.
It's ABC's John Bascom in Washington. Near Pittsburgh, a jet has crashed. United Airlines says the flight was bound for San Francisco from Newark. The FAA has grounded all air traffic across the nation. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
America under attack. Our coverage continues from WABC Radio News. This is WABC, New York City.
Bruce Anderson, WABC News. Once again, we do have a confirmation now. New York City officials say as many as 165 bodies have been recovered following those crashes of planes into the World Trade Center this morning. And the people on board those planes, a total of 156 people, American Airlines planes. Now we'll go to ABC and more continuous coverage.
100 people on board. There were no survivors.
The chaos and confusion continues both in New York and in Washington, D.C. At the Pentagon, is still on fire. Correspondent John McQuethy reported just a while ago that this is a major disaster at the Pentagon, that a major portion of the inner ring is destroyed, and it is his fear that several high-ranking Pentagon officials may be injured or killed in this attack. Washington is closed, basically, and as is New York. Both cities are in a lockdown mode, as Joe DeSteo just reported in his part of the country. ABC's John Bascom is in Washington, and he gives us an idea of what's happening in the nation's capital.
At first, people in the White House were told to get out of the building now, and they went across the street, most of them, to Lafayette Park. Then, gradually, the security zone was widened. People were pushed back a block, then two blocks.
Secret Service agents wearing flak jackets have cleared all of the streets around the White House now. Some are carrying machine guns, and about a dozen fire trucks have come close to the White House in case they're needed.
ABC's John Bascom reporting from Washington. You're listening to live coverage of this attack on the United States. Live coverage from ABC News continues now with ABC's Peter Jennings.
Than he is in the White House. Is that the conventional wisdom among the current White House press corps?
You mean
that the president wants to be in the safest place? He's in the White House, unless he's in a bunker somewhere.
Well, I think that is normally true, but again, in a situation like this where it's obvious that they're just not sure what's going to happen. They believe there are safer places for him. The Secret Service told us absolutely they have places they believe are safer for their protectees than the White House. Remember, we talked about this earlier, but just a couple of years ago, a plane landed on the White House lawn.
Right.
So mistakes do happen in terms of the protection of the president, and they don't want to take any chances at this point.
Thanks very much, Claire. And, but one more question. We try to track the political leadership in the city generally, and I realize this is in large measure a serious effort, but also something of an academic exercise. Where are the leaders of the Senate and the House at the moment?
Well, we're going to interrupt Peter Jennings and Claire Shipman right now and go to Boston's Logan Airport for a news conference and a briefing on those airplanes that were apparently
I'm not
hijacked.
Sure the exact time. You are correct in saying that the airport does...
Joseph Lawless, the spokesman at the airport in Boston.
It's handed off to different control centers. I don't know the time. I don't know the time on that.
Have all the other flights from Logan been accounted for at this point?
To my knowledge, I can't confirm that. Again, I think I said that the FAA is working on that. The FAA is trying to track that down.
Do you know how many flights took off before 9:15 this morning?
I don't have that number.
Approximately?
I don't have that number.
On an average morning?
It would be pure speculation. I don't want to speculate right now.
Sir, do air traffic controllers monitor a departing flight to see if it's on the path that it, I assume, filed?
I would assume so. I don't know what their specific responsibilities are or their procedures are.
And if it's not, what is the procedure?
I don't, again, that's the FAA. I don't have any responsibility or knowledge of what they do.
Joe, has the entire airport been evacuated? Or is it in the process of being evacuated?
The airport is not evacuated. We've shut down the security checkpoints, and we've taken people beyond the security screening back out into the non-secure side. And those remain shut.
How far after a plane takes off here does the NASCAR FAA control tower take over the flight?
That's an area of the FAA. I don't know what their procedures are in going from zone to zone.
Joe, how concerned are you?
I'm very concerned. This is a tragic event. I'm very concerned about this.
Do you think this day would ever come?
No.
Yes, thank you very much. It's all the information we have right now, and I apologize for not more information.
But just one question. Joe, is there any kind of video monitoring system which records passengers' safety proceeds in the Concourse area?
I can't discuss any of the security things we have in place.
Find out what's going to happen as of 1:30.
We should have more spokesman Joseph Lawless at Boston's Logan Airport briefing reporters on... Boston's involvement in these tragic events this morning. At least two of the planes that we know of were hijacked from Boston. Karen, perhaps you could bring us up on that.
Actually, one of the planes that was hijacked from Boston is believed to be one of the planes that was flown into the World Trade Center Tower, the first one that was hit, the first one to collapse. Both of them have gone down. Both the World Trade Center Towers in New York City have crumbled to the ground, changing the landscape of Manhattan forever. Another plane has crashed into the Pentagon, which is still burning at this hour. Going back to the World Trade Center for a moment, we have a quote of an eyewitness who said, "I heard a boom. People were jumping off the building everywhere. They were just jumping. These buildings were 110 stories high before they were toppled." We have Chris Yates, an aviation expert at Jane's Transport Magazine, saying this is perhaps the most audacious terrorist attack that has ever taken place in the world. It takes a logistics operation from the terror group involved that is second to none. And he or she adds, only a very small handful of terror groups is on that list. We have flights from the U.S. lockdown.
The lockdown continues. I guess we can say it's a lockdown. It's a shutdown. Manhattan is virtually shut down.
Washington.
And Washington is virtually shut down. The tunnels and bridges leading in and out of Manhattan, at least to the west side, to New Jersey, across the Hudson River, are closed. White House, the Capitol, the State Department, the Pentagon were all evacuated. And there's a bit of a lockdown around the country. Not a bit. There's a great lockdown because the FAA has ordered all airports shut down this morning, and all planes that were in flight were ordered to land at the nearest airport. And we just heard Joseph Lawless a moment ago briefing reporters, and he also said that things are shut down at Logan.
We've increased our security measures. We've shut down all the construction sites within Logan Airport, both airside and landside. And we've shut down all security checkpoints and removed all passengers who had been previously screened out into the non-secure part of the airport.
Here in New York, Mayor Rudolph Giuliani could not speculate on exactly how many lives had been lost. However, he would say a tremendous number of lives had been lost. There was a stampede of all avenues on the west side, Reuters reported, when two of the towers came crumbling down. Witnesses say people were hysterical, saying we're going to die. A huge cloud of smoke and dust came up the avenue, looking like it was going to engulf everyone.
As we said, both President Bush and Secretary of State Powell were out of Washington when this occurred. Both are heading back to the nation's capital. The president coming back from Florida, Secretary of State Powell coming back from Lima, Peru. He cut short his what was his first official visit to South America to return home to deal with this crisis. But before leaving, he urged foreign ministers from the OAS, the Organization of American States, to quickly pass a democracy pact, an agreement, as a clear message against terrorism, and it was adopted unanimously before he left. And then Powell left the military airport in Lima to head back to Washington, saying that this is a terrible, terrible tragedy. A terrible tragedy has befallen his nation, but it is befallen, said Secretary Powell, to all those who believe in democracy.
And of course, this is affecting the entire nation, Jim. Coast to coast evacuations have been ordered at the UN in New York, the Sears Tower in Chicago, and of course, Seattle's Space Needle is shut down for the day. There are also lockdowns at military bases, and of course, extra guards at our nuclear supplies and at our germ warfare sites across the country.
And we know that this is affecting people around the world. As we said a few moments ago, many of the foreign exchange banks and money lenders were in the world.
America under attack. Our coverage continues from WABC Radio News. This is WABC New York City. Is WABC New York and 1050 ESPN New York WEVD New York.
From ABC News.